Business Hour with Oliver Feng on OFM.
It's IFM, the sound of your life. And now we are focusing on Jutta's annual labor law seminar, which will provide guidance on developments in South African labor law. And speaking of some of these developments, we've got Tanya Venter. She's the CEO of Tukiso and an advocate of the High Court and a representative from Jutta. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Ole. It's an absolute pleasure to be part of Jutta's annual seminar.
Yes, and of course, we're going to touch on the seminar. What are some of the expectations from it, etc.? It's taking place for the first time in Bloemfontein.
That is correct. Mm. And we're very pleased and proud of that, because at our previous seminars, we did note that several people were coming from Bloemfontein. So there was certainly an interest, and that is why we've extended it to that city as well.
Yes, and we're going to get into this interesting event that's coming up. But first of all, yes, we want to touch on, you know, some of the key labor law developments that are taking place, specifically the Employment Equity Act. That's been on a lot of people's lips. Could you please touch on what it is and how it addresses workplace discrimination?
So this is a very well-established piece of legislation, if I can put it that way, in terms of implementation. It was one of our labor laws, was part of our first suite of legislation adopted by post-apartheid government. And it's a 1998 piece of legislation that has two principal purposes, if I can summarize it. Firstly, is to prohibit discrimination, as is provided for in our constitution. But the second aspect is also to put in corrective measures, and that's through employment equity provisions. And one of the things we're going to be talking about, is the recent amendments to the Employment Equity Act, mm-hmm. and specifically around sector targets that have been introduced for various sectors in our society. So it is quite a material change, and one that we believe that our delegates will be very interested in.
Yes, I mean, there's, like I said, been a lot of conversation, and there's also a lot of court cases around the sectoral targets, SACALIGA, NIASA, etc., and other parties.
Correct. And we will certainly be touching on those as well, where they are at the moment.
What types of evidence are typically required to prove discrimination in a workplace dispute, if you'd say?
Our Act does have listed grounds, and I'm not going to read them all to you, but just the obvious ones that I could mention is obviously race, gender, sex, ethnic or social origin, HIV status, culture, language, etc. So we've got a wide range of grounds for discrimination. And if somebody says, well, this act that you did as an employer is discrimination, what our law requires is for the employer to prove that unfair discrimination did not take place, alternatively, that the discrimination is fair or rational. So everyone says, well, is discrimination, and I always get this question, but why do you always talk about unfair discrimination? Isn't this all discrimination unfair? And the answer is actually no, because there's two specific areas that our law allows discrimination to happen. That the first one being if it's an inherent requirement of the job. And the second one, of course, is affirmative action. So on that basis, if you can show that it's an inherent requirement of the job, or such discrimination is rational, or it's a form of affirmative action, it can render it fair. So that's generally how it works. And the types of evidence could be evidence that witnesses give. It could be documentary evidence. It also can be policies and procedures that could have an adverse effect to a group that are on listed grounds.
We're still speaking to Tanya Venter. She's the CEO of Tukiso, and she's also a rep from Jutta. They're set to have their annual labor law seminar for the first time in Bloemfontein due to demand, essentially, and we're fortunate to be chatting to her about that in just a short bit. I want to ask you, Tanya, what would you think is the big misconception around the Employment Equity Act? Fundamentally, ordinary citizens don't always have a full grasping of it, certainly.
I actually think that our employers and our unions and employees are very accepting of it. But I think sometimes there's a misconception, firstly, around discrimination always being unfair, and the fact that one can just implement it without structure and formality. There's very, very clear basis in which you can do things, and that's implement affirmative action, implement employment equity, and also ways of prohibiting discrimination. So that's what I would say, where people have misconceptions.
Essentially echoing your earlier point there.
Yes, what absolutely.
What are the legal implications of failing to address something like harassment in the workplace? That's always a big topic that people are talking about, and it's quite pervasive, eh?
Yes, it's pervasive in the sense that it's becoming a very, in my work, I'm dealing with a huge amount of alleged harassment in the workplace. And it's very interesting is I don't know why it's coming up so readily and so commonly now that when it didn't 15, 20 years ago. It may be due to very bold women coming forward around sexual harassment in our society. I think there's been several court cases. It may be the Me Too movement. It may be your youth moving into the workplace who are much more aware of their rights. And it might be also just a general awareness of rights and constitutional rights. But it definitely is a big area. But the legal implications are very clear in our Act. There's a Section 62 of the Employment Equity Act that in fact says that if there is an alleged harassment, somebody goes to the employer or it comes to the employer's attention that harassment has taken place, it's incumbent on the employer to immediately address it. They need to consult with parties. They need to then prevent and eliminate that. So you need to eliminate it and prevent it from happening again. And if they don't do that as the employer, what happens is the law makes the employer liable for that harassment, even if one of your employees or somebody else has done it. But the nice thing about it is that although it's concerning, people are coming up, they're speaking out, and our law protects people. I deal with several other jurisdictions in the world, and I think we're at the forefront in the development of our law around harassment and discrimination. And our courts have been very, very clear that harassment, discrimination will not be tolerated in the workplace.
Like you said, our legislation is far ahead. Is implementation also matching up with that legislation?
Yes and no, okay. I should say. I still am alarmed by some of the cases I see, I won't lie. I can't believe that stuff is still happening. It should never happen and should never have happened, but you'd think, considering how extensive our law and our case law is, that wouldn't happen. So yeah, one would hope that employers know that if they don't act upon it, they will be held liable, and that the courts are, there's been several court cases where they've held employers liable where they've not acted appropriately or not at all.
Well, Jutta's annual labor law seminar is set to take place for the first time in Bloemfontein.
Yes.
Are you able to tell us what attendees can expect?
Yes. So we're going to deal with a range of case law that's happened in the last year, but also touch on some principles in labor law. But we're going to go through everything. We're going to go through your individual labor law, your collective labor law. We're going to be touching on retrenchments. It's a big, unfortunately, a big topic at the moment, and transfers of businesses in terms of 197. And finally, which is my section, is around discrimination and employment equity. So we're going to take you, if you give us your day, we'll make sure you're 100% up to date with all the relevant cases from the last year. So it really is something not to miss. And there's something else, Ole, I want to mention is that I most enjoy when I do these seminars with my colleagues, Puke, John and Craig, is that I get to meet you as colleagues and as friends who work with labor law practically, and to hear your experiences and comments and around these topics that we're going to be attending to. So please do join us. It really is always a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's interesting when we kind of unpacked the cases around the sectoral targets, etc., there was reaction. There was a law firm that asked for a clip of the audio because we spoke to Niasa. So I think there's going to be big interest in that as well, without a doubt.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, the one judgment we will be covering, although, is the Van Wyk judgment, the parental leave judgment.
Yes.
That's just come out. And in fact, we didn't know, you know, you only know at the short notice that it's coming out, but we will be dealing with that in detail. And I will be going through some of the practical implications. I'm not going to just say these are the facts of the case. I'm in fact going to go through some of the real practical implications that employees and employers alike need to attend to.
Yeah, that's going to be an incredible experience, and you need to make sure that you attend. Where can they get more details on attending the seminar and tickets, etc.?
Well, I think you just go to Jutta. Everything's online. You just have to Google Jutta Annual Labor Law Seminar, and all the details will come up on Jutta's website.
And that was Tanya Finter. She is the CEO of Tukiso, and she's also a representative from Jutta. They are going to be hosting their annual labor law seminar for the first time in Bloemfontein. And for more details, you can visit their website. That's jutta.co.za for more details. Otherwise, listen back to my fascinating discussion with Tanya on rfm.co.za. This is the Business Hour.
Business Hour on OFM.